This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here. I've got Becca Zanders here. We're going to talk about, do you know when you're ready to sell? Boy, I bet you've been thinking about that at 2 o'clock in the morning when you wake up. Anyway, don't forget, we have released our own podcast listening app. We would love for you to get on board with it. It's the ultimate playlist. You're going to love it. Automotive Repair Podcast Network.com. There's the QR codes. If you're looking at us on YouTube, you can freeze the screen and scan and get it. But otherwise, we've loved to have brought you this incredible listening app. There's a video of mine out there that I did on exactly how all the cool features in that thing work. Well, anyway, 10 years in, thanks for being here. We're going to see Becca Zanders here in a moment after a word from our great, great partners, Napa Auto Care and Napa Trax. Hey, when customers choose a Napa Auto Care Center, they get more than a repair. They get trust, savings, and peace of mind. Want your shop to stand out? Connect with your local Napa representative and get the conversation started to become a Napa Auto Care Center. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napa Trax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hello, Becca Zanders. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on today, Carm.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. What a great legacy you have. You and your husband owned a shop, Tony, for 22 years?
Yep, 22 awesome years.
Cool. And I know Tony had some pretty damn nice things to be proud of. The Napa ASE Tech of the Year?
Yes.
Wow. And he was on that Napa board. And the first director of Auto Care Professionals Network.
Yes, that was a really formative time for the automotive aftermarket to bring in the automotive professionals and kind of circle up the users, the end users with the manufacturers and the distributors.
Well, look, I know they just changed the name of CCPN to VSE, Vehicle Service Experts. And I did an episode at Apex on that. So keep your ear to the ground, everyone. But Becca right now, she's got a, if you will, a professional designation, CEPA, which I think is so cool. This is one of the reasons she's here, Certified Exit Planning Advisor. Wow. So you know a lot about that stuff.
I do, and I'm always learning.
Yeah, I bet you are. Well, look, a couple of the topics that we are going to hammer out is your personal readiness and or your financial readiness and or is your business attractive enough for someone to be looking to buy it? And let's not even get into how much I want and what it's worth. I mean, yeah, we can go there for sure. But look, you had sent me this interesting stat. You said that only 20 to 30% of businesses in the U.S. that go to market sell. That's a scary number.
It is a scary number. And also with that number is the statistic that 50% of people that go to market, 50% of businesses are not there in their own time of their own choosing. They're forced to be there for some reason.
What do you mean? Hanging in there?
What I mean is 50%, almost 50% of businesses go to market in a forced sale.
Ah, because they really weren't planning on it, but I got to unload this thing.
Right. Yeah. Most people were not planning on selling their business. And the five most common things that force a business owner into a sale, an unplanned sale, and I've seen them all, is death, the death of an owner or a partner, a divorce. A divorce is a big one. I actually know a shop owner that they got divorced and they couldn't afford to buy each other out. So they're still working together, running their shop together. Death, divorce, disability, a disabled owner, some sort of unexpected injury or illness. A disagreement with a partner often forces a sale. It can be a long, messy legal battle. And then the fifth most common reason to be forced into a sale is some kind of distress. And of course, the best example of that we have recently is COVID.
Wow. The five D's.
The five D's.
Don't let that happen to you.
That's right.
Here's what I'm getting a feeling about this episode. You're going to listen to this episode and you're going to have thoughts about it. And sometimes your mind's going to wander because you're trying to deal with it in your own situation. Oh, cool thing about our new listening app is you can literally, oh, you love this. You can immediately share it with a friend through text or email, which is kind of cool because so many, they call it the silver tsunami of so many people that, you know, are aging out in our industry and they probably want to either succeed or sell. But the five D's, divorce, disability, death, distress, and disagreement. And I'm sure that someone who's listening right now, one of those apply. And it would be really interesting if they weren't there and life was semi-normal. How do we get this done? It would be nice to know from you, what's the preparation? We talked about it in the beginning. What's the personal readiness to try to prepare for this? And one of the things that I'm going to say right off the top of my head is good financial statements, Becca.
Yes, definitely good financial statements. But before we even talk about the business, it's right where people go. I want to switch the whole thought process of exit planning upside down. Because if you are a boomer, if you are really over the age of 40, you probably have learned exit planning in a very backwards way. I say that because when I became a certified exit planning advisor, I learned what's called the value acceleration methodology. And that methodology takes us through three gates. Exit planning, think of it as being on a journey and you're going to go through three gates. The first gate is discovery. What is my business worth? And am I ready as a leader? Am I financially ready? And is my business attractive and ready? That first gate of discovery is where you really dig deep into those areas and you discover about yourself as a leader, your organization, and the value of your business. The second gate is prepare. Am I preparing myself as a leader, my finances, and my organization for sale? Which, by the way, it's called value acceleration methodology. When you get ready for sale, you also get very ready for growth. It's catalytic. And the third gate is decide. Should I grow or should I sell? And boomers learn this, that they start at that third gate in the journey. I want to sell right now. So I'm going to go backwards and I'm going to prepare. And then I'm going to figure out, am I really ready for this?
I got it. E-Myth says that every decision, every move you make is to prepare to sell your business, not backwards. Oh, I'm going to sell my business. Now I got to fix things.
Right. Yeah. Start with the end in mind. Stephen Covey said it.
Wow. Yeah. The two great books to read, the E-Myth and of course, Stephen Covey's book. I read it twice. Anyway. I love this, the value
acceleration methodology.
Acceleration methodology. Wow. It's
yeah, and it really is karma, change of mindset, because you can build a profitable business that's not valuable. Think about that. You can build a very profitable business that's not valuable, but when you build a business for value, it will always lead to profit.
That was probably one of the most profound things you could say in this entire episode. Hobbyists decided to start a business years ago, and they're still hobbying today, okay? And they wonder, with the gray beard coming in and the gray hair and the hurting back, how they're going to one day, am I going to just... Maybe McDonald's wants my corner, or maybe I don't even own it and I lease it. So what do I really have to sell? Oh, I got all this equipment. No one wants to buy used equipment. Some people do, some people don't. And I guess the whole professionalism, this is one of the umbrellas that I talk about all the time, the professionalism of our industry. If you start running your business as a profession, you don't have anything to sell. Even if you're profitable, even a tiny degree, don't kid yourself, you're probably not, but even a tiny degree, you still have nothing to sell.
It is very true. And the difference is building a lifestyle business, which is what a lot of us did. Tony and I did this. We came from nothing. We both came from families that had a large amount of our childhood was spent in poverty. We built this business and we built it to support the lifestyle we wanted.
I'm sorry, I got to stop you. That is probably one of the most profound statements I've heard so far. And say on the last, you know, bunch of episodes we've ever done on Succession, you have a lifestyle business. So, oh, when people go to buy a business and they say, oh, by the way, my lifestyle happens to be all inside my profit and loss statement. You know, all the grandkids' cell phones, you know, the boat at the lake and all this stuff. And buyers sometimes look at the seller and say, listen, I'll try to normalize your P&L by trying to take some of this stuff out of there so that I have a real, honest to God, much better, smarter EBITDA or net income. But it doesn't always work. Go to Hunt Show, Business by the Numbers on our network. Hunt talks about it all the time. He says, stop it. Stop it. Don't do that if you ever have plans one day to sell. And I love, Becca, you've kind of just given me the best mental definition of don't run your business to support your lifestyle. It's powerful. Hopefully, some of our listeners are getting kicked upside the head right now.
Yes, I hope so. And I hope that it brings a change in perspective to people. I just read a white paper about a business that both owners were making $1 million of profit and their business had zero value. And it was a distributorship, but that distributorship had built their entire process, all of their relationships, all the people they had contracts with were people that they golfed with every week. They were never able to build a transferable model that went beyond their lifestyle. They were just enjoying their lifestyle, but at the end, they didn't have anything to sell.
Hopefully, they put a lot of money away.
Yes. Hopefully so. And this is something that is really difficult, especially for owners and founders that have started from nothing. We get this lifestyle drift where we're on a budget that's called spend less than you make. When I work on financial readiness, well, I don't want to skip ahead, but we'll get to that. What does that look like to be really financially ready?
You know, there's this barometer, I think, that's going through people's heads about, you know, selling my business for $1 million. And in today's world, and this is the rock your socks off thing, and I'm trying to remember who recently said this on our podcast in the network, and it could have been Hunt, basically says, oh, okay, there's $1 million. If you could actually net $1 million, you put it in the bank and you earn 4% on it, just pick a number. That's $40,000 a year. You think you can live on that? So the point of it is that the $1 million number is not the number today if you have an opportunity to build and grow a great business. Even if you get Social Security, you have maybe some 401k, some other stuff, the $1 million can get you untouched, you know, there for however long you're going to live, or to be able to give it and pay it forward to family. $1 million doesn't get it today. So you gotta, to your point, you got to stop this lifestyle thing and you got to start being a professional and run a great business. You got to manage.
That's absolutely right. And it's mind-blowing to me to look at the statistics. 90% of business owners have 90% of their worth trapped in their business. It's a lot. And if you wait until the end to sell your business and you end up paying capital gains and take a big chunk of that is going to go to Uncle Sam. It's going to be hard to fill what I call your wealth gap. What do you have now versus what do you need to retire? And the better move is to have a really amazing CPA, a really amazing financial advisor that you are zeroing in. What is my wealth gap? What do I need to retire and start unwinding the wealth out of your business and into other multiple streams of income?
I'm in a silent pause because of another great, powerful statement you made. I'm loving where this is going because there's so many powerful takeaways here. You said wealth gap. I don't think the people in our industry ever stop to think about that. everybody's working their butt off for the $1 million payout. But to your point about capital gains, you could lose half of that.
You can. And there are so many strategies. It's like we take time to strategize building our business and what's our 3-year strategic plan. How many cars do we need in here per day? How many cars per tech? How many hours per tech? We do all this strategizing for our business, but we aren't strategizing for what is our net worth goal? What is our wealth gap? What is the number I'm shooting for? And how am I getting there? And how am I building my personal wealth and legacy for after this business isn't here anymore?
Hey, think about your customer's journey. How do they find you, trust you, and continue to come back? With the NAPA Auto Care Program, you can deliver that positive experience every step of the way. It starts with visibility. Customers can find your shop through the NAPA online locator at no cost to you. And thanks to fully integrated national marketing campaigns, NAPA Auto Care shops are showcased as part of America's largest network of parts and care. Whether they're driving by to see your co-branded NAPA Auto Care sign or they hear about you through national advertising, the NAPA name, trusted by over 95% of the motoring public, builds instant confidence. Inside your shop, that trust grows. Using digital vehicle inspection and NAPA service assistant, you can clearly show customers what's wrong with their vehicle through pictures and videos. SmartSign creates an engaging waiting experience, while exclusive consumer offers help save them on services. And when your shop becomes gold certified, customers know they'll receive a consistent top-level experience every time. Customers also gain peace of mind knowing your technicians are ASE certified, trained by NAPA Auto Tech, and backed by the NAPA Auto Care Nationwide Peace of Mind Warranty. For an unexpected repair expense, the NAPA credit card helps them get back on the road. And when the repair is complete, their satisfaction is captured through the NAPA CSI survey, turning great service into long-term loyalty. Hey, you want to create this customer journey? Only one way. Connect with your local NAPA representative and get started. Hey, when customers choose a NAPA Auto Care Center, they get more than a repair. They get trust, savings, and peace of mind. Want your shop to stand out? Connect with your local NAPA representative and get the conversation started to become a NAPA Auto Care Center. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRAX.com. How do you know if you're ready to exit? All these things that you said, ducks in order somehow. And I don't think you could get there without support and help. I mean, I think it goes back to coaching. It goes back to your point, great CPA, to a wealth planner. I don't know that but 20% of our people in our industry even thought of this or have them on their team.
Yeah, most people that I work with do not have the right team. And the real question for the business owner is, are you playing optimist football? Are you just out there to have fun, or are you ready for the Super Bowl? Because it's a totally different team and a totally different coach that takes you to the Super Bowl. And it's a totally different commitment from the owner on, are you ready to focus on this? The special sauce is really in Pat Luciani's book, The Ideal Team Player. We use that in building our team and hiring our techs and hiring our service advisors. Are you using that to build your exit team? And are you using that for yourself? Are you really hungry to do this the right way? Are you really humble and willing to let advisors come in and coach you for what an exit looks like? And way before you're ready to exit, do this. You know what's interesting? The younger generation is doing this from when they start their business. They have this down. This is how they're learning. So the best time to do this is when you start. The next best time is today. But are you hungry? Are you humble? And are you smart? Are you putting the tools in your tool belt? And it's something that we can all start learning about and empowering ourselves with today. You asked, Carm, how do you know when you're ready? I like to say it's like the three legs of a stool. There's three areas of readiness. Are you as a leader personally ready? We've talked about already, are your finances ready? And funny thing about finances, when I work with clients, almost all of them tell me what they think they need to retire. Take a guess, Carm. What do you think that number per month is? How much do you need per month to live?
Oh, per month to live? They're going to say a $10,000.
Exactly. Everybody says $10,000.
Was that right?
That is exactly right. Like bullseye. And it's so funny. I just had a client and I've been working with them for a while. I know what they do. I know how they live. I get really involved in their lives. And they said $10,000. And I said, okay, show me your bank statements for the last 12 months. Let's look at this. I didn't hear from them for weeks. And I'd call them, hey, let's look at your bank statements. When are we getting together? So they finally called back. They said, we're so embarrassed. It's 25 grand a month that we need to maintain our lifestyle. You want to know that before you sell, right? Yeah. So 75% of people regret selling. And this financial piece is a piece, but it is not the piece.
I love this. Oh, you just said they regret selling because they have not planned their future.
Right. Well, they regret selling, and it usually never has anything to do with money. That's a shocker. The money is important. It is not the thing that will make you happy.
What makes me happy then? What's the drive?
The drive is we were made for purpose. Why do you get up and do what you do every day? The best shop owners that come on your show, Carm, I've heard them. The best shop owners that are changing the industry, they've dialed in their why. Well, it does have to do with the transaction, but it's not transaction motivated. They are motivated to change their world and their sphere of influence, the lives of the people that work with them, the lives of the customers that come through the door. And you take that life of significance and you have to define, what does that look like next? Why are you here? What are you going to do next? Business owners are the philanthropic glue of our communities. Almost anybody that has been successful in business is sponsoring the things they're passionate about, whether it's sports teams, education things, nonprofits, religious organizations. And you take away the tool that they've always used to influence the people around them that mean the world to them and the community that's important to them. If they have not defined what that looks like next, it can feel like a tremendous loss of life purpose.
You said the word change before, and I like to use the word advance versus the word change, because there's a lot of people that look at the word change as a, you can't force me to change, and you know, I'll never change. But if you looked at it as a positive, I'm going to advance my business, advance myself, I'm going to get ahead instead of change. And I think a lot of the hobbyists are unwilling to change because they're stuck in my thinking, in my whole language shift in the industry. I think advancing my family, advancing myself, advancing my people, advancing my business is a much stronger, I don't know, maybe it's a sexier word to think about, because I think it has a little deeper meaning than the word change. But that's just my opinion and I could be wrong.
I love it. I'm adopting it.
Oh, thank you so much. When you said 10,000 a month and then they actually stopped to do the math and realized they needed 25, is it that people, let's make an assumption that when they stop to realize that, Do they shutter in place and realize we need to make some very important heavy changes inside the business so that if we can, and on that date, we are attractive to a buyer, the money that's going to come in will sustain that lifestyle somehow? Or I've got to start putting more money away as, I can't because there's not any profit in the business. The profit's not where it should be. I can't hire really good people. It still ends up getting to the almighty profitability of the business. And I guess as I have been talking for 10 years about finding yourself an accountability partner, a networking group, a coach, and so many of the friends that I have, I know, Carm, you were so right all those years ago, and I have no ego to say that I was right, but when I see some really wonderful people, their hearts are in the right place, but they just weren't knowledgeable enough. They didn't have the guidance. They never went back to school for a business class. They learned it in the backyard on how to fix vehicles, but they never learned how to run a business and how to make money. And so I think a lot of this, the way we've ignored future success for the last, say, 20, 25 years, is now the timeline so much shorter. I'm getting too old. And it's like the people that are in their 60s, well, I got another 15 years to work. I don't have to worry about a thing and continue to run the hobbyist style business. If this one episode can change someone's lives, which is what the reason that I started 10 some years ago, I just want people to listen to learn just one thing, and we produce such great content every week. Come on, shame on you if you're not, you know, doing something about it. I'm ranting, and I'm sorry. Becca, get off my soapy.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's the third leg of the stool. Is your business attractive to a buyer, and is it ready for transition?
Oh my God, would I buy my business?
Right.
There it is.
And would you pay $1 million, $2 million, $10 million?
Exactly. Oh my God, there's confession right there.
Yeah. And when we analyze businesses, a couple of things we do, and you've touched on it, is what are your real numbers? Your tax numbers are not your real numbers. Your EBITDA is your real number. And you should be tracking that every single year or even every month. Just get in a habit. What are my real numbers? What's my real profit here? That is a benchmark that you want to be tracking. Every owner should be tracking. The other thing we look at is the four intangible capitals that make up 80% of your business. So this is where we coach businesses to grow in the value methodology, value acceleration methodology. But if you have a coach, like, you'll hear this as I'm talking. And if you don't have a coach, get a coach that will coach you through this. But the four intangible capitals that make up 80% of your business value in an appraisal are your human capital. That's your team. Are you building a team? Is your business totally owner dependent? Or can you take a vacation and it still runs and it's still profitable? And about that, I work with business owners that are wanting to sell and they think they're doing great. Like, I'm totally owner independent, but they've almost gone too far and become owner disconnected. So owner independent and owner disconnected are two different things. You want to be leading your business, but it doesn't have to have you there from 8 to 5 to do it.
Got it. Right in the middle. Okay.
Yeah. Build your human capital. Secondly, build your customer capital. One of the things that can really bite you in an appraisal is if you have a big portion of your business is fleet work, like one fleet. And we have seen this where a fleet made up 60% of a shop's income and that fleet was bought out and went away overnight. And that shop was in trouble and worth nothing. And it took years to rebuild it. The automotive repair sector, this isn't generally a huge deal, but when you're going, wow, I wish I had some big fleets, that's a good thing to look for. But you want to make sure it doesn't make up 10% or more of your business. Also, having customers that come back, having loyalty, building loyalty, really taking care of people, that is your customer capital, and that will show up in an appraisal. How many customers do you have? How many repeat customers do you have?
How many loyal customers and how many are you earning new each and every week? I got 2,000 customers in my database. I'm sorry. Yes, selling a used car with no engine.
And this is the thing, is it can look beautiful at the outside, but when you go through due diligence, they're going to say, show me your 12-month customer list. And is it 300 or is it 2,000? Big difference. So customer capital, and that's so important. That really encompasses your marketing, your customer service, how you're taking care of people, your unique selling points, what sets you apart from your competition. Customer capital is a big deal, and how you treat people is a big deal. Your Google reviews are a big deal in the value of your business. So next would be your social capital. That also kind of crosses over with Google reviews, but it's the culture of your company. What is that culture? And is it transferable? You could be named Joe's Auto, and it could still be worth something. It might not be the best thing to name your shop if you're going to be building it to sell. But if you're Joe's Auto, build a culture that lives beyond Joe. And how you're building your team, the framework you're using, is your mission statement and your vision and your values just a statement on your website? Or are you really a value-driven organization? Because that is very, very different when your values and your mission are in the driver's seat. So that is your social capital. And then lastly is your structural capital. And you are really, really good, Carm, about driving this one forward. But that is your benchmarks. That's your KPIs. What are your key performance indicators? Your tracking. Do you have job descriptions? Are you tracking? What is winning looking like for all of those positions in your company? What does that look like? Do the people know what winning looks like? Do they know every day when they went home they won today, or there's room for improvement? And where is that? And so your structural capital, and that's all the things you don't see. Are you S corporation? Are you really doing your annual minutes? And are they in your corporate book? Are you keeping up on the things that they're going to ask for in due diligence? Your taxes, are they up to date? Is your bookkeeping in order? All of the stuff that you don't see, it all comes into light in due diligence. So get it right now. And when you get it right and you get benchmarks and KPIs and structure in place, then you will have profit and you will grow and you will realize that you have a new passion for what you are doing. And you get to that decide gate, you discover what your business is worth. You're looking at, where am I as a leader? Where's my finances? Where's my organization? You've gone through that discovery gate, you go through the prepare gate, and you fix the things that are broken in those three areas. And you realize that you're excited again because you have new vision. You know what you need to work on, and you're excited to fix it because you can see that it's going to bring value and it's going to bring profit and it's going to change your life. And so when you get to the decide gate and you're going, do I want to sell now? Most of the people that work with me, it's kind of disappointing. I got in this thinking, wow, I'm going to help people sell their business. They don't want to sell. They want to grow. They get excited about what they're doing.
As a certified exit planning advisor, you could be on the team for 5 to 10 years, because what you're doing is you're guiding the necessary fixes, changes, needs that an individual needs to have so that they've got a slam dunk deal.
Yes, we are consulting on value.
Consulting on value. God, I love that.
That value will lead to a very profitable, and in most cases, when you get the right exit planning advisor, a very mission-driven organization and mission-driven owner.
Becca Zanders, CEPA, Certified Exit Planning Advisor. How do we get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at www.d6elements.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn under Becca Zanders.
D6elements.com, business consulting and exit planning. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on your website that could motivate us to follow up on this episode, but I'm sorry, there were only about 10 huge takeaways here. You just nailed it. Anything that you wanted to cover on this episode that will help people change some people's lives?
The one other thing I would like to say is that when you sell your business, you don't sell your identity. It's a big deal. You are not your business. Your business does become part of what you are, but really think about, who am I? What am I doing? Am I spending time with the people I love the most? Am I focusing as much on that as I am on my business? Those things make you transition well. Having work-life balance, we talk about it all the time. You're not going to sell your identity. You are going to sell your business. So unwrap that. Unwrap and unravel your identity from what you do as best you can.
All right, I got it. When you say, I'm the business, you're thinking wrong.
Yeah, I just talked to a guy and he said his dad had just sold his business and he got up the next day at 6 a.m. like every other day, put on his suit and tie, came down for breakfast, ate breakfast, and then what?
And then what? I think this pause that I have just issued into this episode is for people to think about this, have some self-reflection. Very, very powerful episode. Thank you so much. I'm so happy we had you on. Do me a favor. Don't be bashful. You got anything life-changing, come back on and tell us, will you?
Oh, thank you so much, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Becca Zanders, D6 Elements, Certified Exit Planning Advisor. Good, good stuff. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.